हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
From all these conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam, see page 37, should be understood that performing devotional service to Sri Hari is the only purpose of life. There is no other purpose. Unless one makes the gross and subtle bodies favorable for devotional service, one cannot engage in such. There is a need for some arrangements in order to attain a favorable condition in those two bodies. First, in order to maintain the gross body, there is a need to accumulate a house, household items, grains, and drinks. For the prosperity of the subtle body, one needs proper knowledge and a proper occupation. In order to make the bodies completely favorable for devotional service, there is a need to situate them above the modes of nature. Due to the results of fruitive activities from time immemorial, whatever nature and desires a living entity develops is certainly a mixture of goodness, passion, and ignorance. By first enriching the mode of goodness, one should diminish and defeat passion and ignorance and make goodness prominent. When the mode of goodness is completely under the control of devotional service, then it becomes nirguna. By following this gradual process, one's body, mind, and environment become fit for devotional service. So, in other words, here he's looking at it very... Because we always like to look at it, you know, there's me, what I need, you know, all these different things, all the considerations and all those things. Yes, that's true in a general sense. In the specific sense, that's just the specific conditioning. So it's not that the soul requires any of that. Right? But the point is because to perform service, that will be done with the gross and subtle body. Right? In other words, the soul desires to serve the Lord and wants to please the Lord. But the medium that will be used will be the gross and subtle bodies. Right? Otherwise, how does one serve? That's just how it functions. So, therefore, to make them fit, then you have to have arrangements. You have to have something for the body, you know, to take care of the body, and something to take care of the subtle body. Putting those together, then you have a proper, the facility is there. But now, if they function within the modes of passion and ignorance, then that's not very favorable for devotional service, right? Because passion means it'll be for oneself. You know, the endeavor may be a good endeavor, pious endeavor, but it's for oneself, right? Ignorance means you don't actually know what's going on, right? It means you're mistaking, you know, one thing for another, the gross body, the subtle body for oneself, you know, of what's proper as improper, what's improper as proper. Like we see in the modern cultures, that things that are traditionally before that everybody accepted as just standard human value and lifestyle, now is said to be archaic and bad and wrong, and that's the cause of all the difficulties of the world, you know, and everything like that. So, you know, so it's a problem in that the mode of ignorance makes one ignorant. Like that. So, therefore, one wants to situate, so that means then the activities of the body and the mind then should be on the mode of goodness. Right? Then when that's cultivated, then that will become steady, then one sees that then there is no passion or ignorance, because through knowledge, through detachment, then one knows who one is. Well, that will get rid of the ignorance. And one has no desire to separately endeavor or engage in something where the result is other than for Krishna. So I get rid of the passion. Right? And so then one can be properly situated. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Then the whole environment, then it says, by following this gradual posture, one's body, mind, and environment become fit for devotional service. Right? Because the idea is that, see, when we're saying devotional service, there's always the two levels that we're looking at it. Devotional service meaning as sadhana, and devotional service as sadhya, right? So as sadhana, it's something we're practicing. It's means the practice of devotional service is also included as devotional service. But in reality, devotional service is service done in devotion. Does that make sense? But we desire to come to that platform, so that endeavor is also counted as. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Let's say you have I'm not sure if there'd be a flaw in the example, but you have a small kid, and they become impressed with the Olympic bicycle riders, right? So they don't know how to ride a bicycle. So when they're first starting to ride a bicycle, and somebody asks, "Well, what are you doing?" "I'm preparing for the Olympics." And they're going to say, "What do you mean you're preparing for the Olympics?" You know, you can't even ride a bicycle. But the point is in actuality, you have to know how to ride a bicycle to ride a bicycle in the Olympics. Yeah. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, the techniques of devotional service are what one will use as the medium of devotion to Krishna. Mm. So there'll be some time taken to develop those techniques and develop the attitude and everything so it's proper for devotional service. So when it says here, by following this gradual process, one's body, mind, and environment become fit for devotional service, can mean that then by following it, then one will become, how do you say, able to be committed to devotional service, or in other words, steady in devotional service. I'm trying to find some place to, you have these things for your throat, but then they move around here, stick them somewhere, so they pop it. And the same time as then by that steady practice, then it comes to the platform of prema, which is devotional service. Right? There's a need for varnashram dharma. While a human being remains in the stage of piety and impiety that are born of his nature. Right? Because the nature not being pure, there's going to be piety and impiety. So the varnashram will engage the piety, but it'll also see that the impiety doesn't come up. Right? The main purpose of varnashram is this.
So what happens to the impiety then? If it's just kind of dormant, doesn't it pop up at some point?
No, you pack it up and send it off to some country you don't like, you know. I used to send everything over to, Iraq or something, and then the war broke out, so then I stopped using that as a country. The standards is sent to those who are opposed to the Vedic version. The only problem is that could be devotees also. So. Okay. No, it's a matter of you don't engage in it because you're involved in these other things, and by doing that you become purified, because by a higher taste you give up the lower. Because you can't really give up a lower by just trying to stop it.
Right.
Means if it's not very deep and your understanding of its uselessness is strong, then you can drop something. You know, like all the other kids are smoking, and then, you know, you kind of think, you know, well, hey, let's check it out. And then after the first puff, you know, you decide, you know, forget this, you know, and that, and then it doesn't, because it's not deep in the, but if in last lifetime you were, you know, a chain smoker and all that, and, you know, the reason, the only because you smoked and some of the cigarette companies, you know, stayed, you know, afloat, you know, like that, then there's a good chance this lifetime it's not going to go away without a higher taste. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that the varnashram system keeps you busy. Body, mind, and words are engaged. That's why it's said here, we noticed here, first, in order to maintain the gross body, there's a need to accumulate a house, household items, grains, and drink. Right? So that's pretty direct. For the prosperity of the subtle body, one needs proper knowledge and a proper occupation. Right? One's just saying, no, but the occupation is for the body. No, the body gets the benefits of the occupation. Right? But it's the subtle body that is what is purified by the occupation. Right? Because the body, it doesn't matter. It just needs facility. Like that. But the subtle body, because then you think about what you're going to do. Right? If you have an occupation or you have interests, then the mind thinks about them. The intelligence contemplates them. You identify with them. Right, so it's actually the subtle body that deals with the occupation. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so then the occupation keeps one busy, and by doing that, one gets situated in goodness, one develops that higher taste, and then the lower taste is able to be given up, right? That's that point. Okay. The main purpose of Varnashram is this. By gradually following Varnashram, human being will become eligible to perform devotional service, right? So here the Varnashram, here you say gradually, so by performing Varnashram, then they slowly purify themselves. If you follow it properly, then slowly over births, one will move up in the varnas until one gets to the brahminical platform. Then in that, performing all those activities, one will get purified. So the idea is at some point, hopefully, by coming in contact with the pure devotees, then one will take up the devotional process. Right? And then one would be very qualified, in a very pure position and everything. But that's a very slow process. And it's no guarantee that through karma or jnana practice, you know, as a Brahmin or as anyone else, that one will meet Vaishnav Brahmins. Right? Because karma, you have to have a yajna, so you have a priest. Jnana, then you're going to discuss with other intellectuals. But it's not necessarily that you're going to bump into Vaishnavas in that process, because there's plenty of smartas, and they'll do a very nice, excellent yajna, and they may know Sanskrit and grammar, grammar and logic very well, and so they can discuss on a very, very nice or elevated platform, but it doesn't mean you'll get devotional service. So that process is very slow. So then in here we can understand is that the Varnashram system is useful for, in this case, for devotees. Because then very quickly the body, mind, words are engaged in a regulated activity that, you know, being, when we say Varnashram, means what's recommended by the Acharyas. So there's nothing unfavorable, right? It'll be, you know, from neutral to favorable. And so then by following it, then the body, mind, and words will become purified and therefore eligible for being useful in devotional service. Right? Because if the main point of devotional service is the willingness to be involved, the desire to be involved, that's not going to come if there's passion and ignorance. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're passionately absorbed in something else or too ignorant, you're not going to want to be engaged in devotional service. Does that make sense? So there is some clarity there, therefore we're in devotional service. The only problem is how do we arrange those facilities for the body? Right? You know, the house, the items, the grains, the drinks, like that. So that means then we're going to do that through an occupation. Right? And then that occupation is what engages or purifies the subtle body. Right? So if that's not an occupation that's defined by, you know, the Lord's direction, then it may not purify us in such an efficient way. So his point here is that we're looking at it as a science, and the Varnashram is the most scientific, but you have to know why you're doing it. Because the reason that devotees may be unwilling to follow it is not basic thing is that they aren't familiar with it. You know? That's all. Or they don't see that they'll get what they're looking for from it. So it's simply the subtle body isn't pure enough to appreciate it. Does that make sense? So that subtle body needs to be purified. One, by acknowledging that, okay, maybe I don't appreciate or understand it, but in any case, this is the prescription, so one follows it. Or one simply continues with the process of chanting, associating with devotees. By that purity, one will be able to take advantage of it. Right? Of course, if one's surrender is so great, one could bypass the whole thing. But then the point is then when you preach, you're going to be discussing with persons who haven't. So how are they going to purify themselves? Yes.
But if you are so qualified that you can skip the whole thing, wouldn't you still be engaged in activities that would be within the Varnashram?
Of course.
Yeah. So.
Of course. So it would work. But,
yeah.
But one may not take up, you know, say, an occupation other than the Brahminical occupation. You know what I'm saying? Cause,
yeah.
If someone, let's say, is just for example, someone's a full-time pujari in the temple, he has a place to stay, he has, you know, some allowance, he's taken care of, he's comfortable, he's happy. Generally, in that situation, they're not complaining about Varnashram. You know what I'm saying? The complaint comes is when you have to find a job outside of that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just, it's not seen that the occupations, the present, any occupation anywhere, it all means, so let's say, it's probably a different approach, that the idea that there's such a thing is there's the Vedic and then there's the non-Vedic. Vedic means you understand what's going on. The non-Vedic means you don't understand what's going on. In other words, the Vedic is the knowledge of the non-Vedic is an ignorance. Because the point is if we say, in general in society, you know, you'll have your, you know, your intellectuals, your doctors, your lawyers, you know, your psychiatrists, like that, you know, whatever, like this. Then you'll have your administrators, you know, your army, your police, all these different kinds of things. You're going to have your business community. And then you're going to have those who, you know, your skilled and unskilled workers. But if we said that basically society is made of this, would anybody say, no, but there's more than that? No. Right? It's quite, the difficulty is that it's not scientific, that things are mixed. You know, you have Vaishyas running hospitals. Vaishyas aren't supposed to run hospitals. Vaishyas are supposed to run businesses. They're not supposed to take a Brahminical occupation and, in the name of all good and nice and wonderful, turn it into a business. Does that make sense? This is the difficulty, is that things are mixed. You know what I'm saying? You know, anybody can be, means the idea that anybody could be a leader within the society, that's not a problem. The problem is anybody that has qualification. It's not just anybody. You know what I'm saying? You know, because technically then you could say, is let's say you had a very large, I mean, if you just keep going, then, I mean, you could technically, you could theoretically say, it may not be the far future when, if you're in, you know, southern, on the eastern or western ends of America, and the southern parts, that you could with time probably have some local gang leader elected to a position of office in the municipality, because the amounts of people that live in that area and are living on that level would be greater in volume. Mm-hmm. And so they could take someone who is a criminal and vote them in. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, we're not saying that ones that don't appear as criminals aren't, or you know, like that, or there wouldn't be someone nice from that community. What we're saying is that it's simply by vote. They like the guy, you know, and so then he could be, you know what I'm saying? So the point is the democratic system isn't a problem if the person who's involved in it has qualification. You know what I'm saying? That was its original idea, you know? And then they're going to, of course, convince you of that by, you know, saying what they're going to do and everything like this. But, you know, that can also get a little strained, you know? Just like, the monarch, he's supposed to see the kingdom, if it's his kingdom, that everybody in it, therefore, as his dependents, are like children. And so, therefore, he takes care of them like family. That's also supposed to be there. But since that doesn't get used, then the other one also doesn't get applied. Mm. You know, or you have a group of enlightened persons, and so they together cooperate to make things work. You know what I'm saying? You know, so you have an oligarchy. You know, it's just like when the king is indisposed or off doing something else, then his ministers run the place. So it's actually running as an oligarchy. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So you can have that any of these systems can work. You know what I'm saying? How does the family work? You know what I'm saying? Like that. You have the element is, you know, everybody gets what they need and this and that. So you could say is even the family works like on the communistic element. It doesn't work on democracy, definitely. Like that. You know, until you get teens and you're nasty enough, then maybe a little bit. But before that, it's definitely something else, you know. You know, it's either, you know, yeah, it's either a monarchy or a two-person oligarchy, you know. Like that. So, does that make sense? You know. So these other systems, if it's done with the proper qualification, it doesn't really matter what system you use. It'll work out nicely. The difficulty comes is that things get mixed, and so it doesn't. So, because of that mixing, it's going on. So everyone gets conditioned to it. So you don't get worried about it, or maybe you worry about it, but there's nothing you can do about it. You wouldn't know what to do about it. Of course, you know, everybody's got their
ideas.
Yeah, everybody, you know, every evening when the boys get together, they work out all the political problems of the world, you know, like that. You know, it's like if everybody would just listen to Joe and Sam down at the pub every evening, you know, all the world problems would be, you know, solved. You know, that's it. You know, no question about it. Right? So the idea is that Varnashram means the social system is scientific in that one knows exactly what each position is, what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do. Because if you want to balance something, it has to have rights and obligations. Right? So the difficulty is the rights and obligations aren't there. It means, like we said, the Vaishya is running the hospital, right? So, you know, his right is he makes money. Okay, fine. But he doesn't have the obligation to make everybody healthy. You pay the money, he'll work on it. You don't pay the money, it's not his problem. You know, it's just like you walk into a shop, you have the money, you can buy goods. You don't have the money, it's not his problem. Right? But it's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be the medical is there for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Then you have socialism, then the government will take it. And so that'll be a bit better. You know, so everybody has and this and that. But then, you know, you got to stand, you know, 2 mile long lines and that to get something and this and that. And then, you know, depending on what's happening, maybe things are available or not. But, you know, at least it's more available than when the Vaishnavas run it. Right? But the Brahminical, if they run it, then it's not looked at as business. Right? So therefore, everybody will get something, you know, whatever's available. Does that make sense? So the idea is Varnashram, it's scientific. And because it's scientific, then it'll work nicely and everybody will be purified. So everybody will get benefit. So that's why it's recommended. Right? Because other social systems aren't scientific. So all we're saying is when, you know, varnashram doesn't apply or doesn't work, just means I'm very comfortable to having a non-scientific social environment. Though the reason I don't like so many of the Vedic things because it doesn't match in my mind with modern science. You know what I'm saying? So you get this. At the same time, modern science is simply the observation of God's creation and seeing the patterns.
Yeah.
You know, so, but that somehow or another has nothing to, it's secular. Science is seen as secular, you know, the most secular. You know, so the synthesis of, you know, religion and science is a big deal. No, science is only studying God's creation. You understand? You see all these things are very inconsistent. We have faith in science, though it's actually based on God's creation. And we say science, but we don't want a scientific social system. You know what I'm saying?
What would you call any other social system?
Any other social system?
Than Varnashram. I mean, if Varnashram is scientific,
there's many. There's many names. You have Malecha, Yavana, Pulinda, Sabara, Andran, like that. You know, I think there's 12 main groups of non-Vedic social systems.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
How does they fit into the different, like, Anamai consciousness, like that?
Yeah, basically that's it.
Is Vedic then Gyanamai? Because
it means the platform of Gyanamai is only attained if you follow Varnashram. If you don't follow Varnashram, you're not situated on that platform. Because otherwise, how do you define inherent nature? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How do you define that? So that's the difficulty. It's undefined. So unless to be able to maintain the platform of moksha or the spiritual, how are you going to do that without the mode of goodness? So varnashram is expected one will function within goodness. Right? Means, but the system is such that it can accommodate those of passion and ignorance and engage them as gradually get purified. Right? But those parts aren't so important for us. Right? So the varnashram situates one in goodness, so then one can, you know, function with the proper knowledge.
I heard in class the other day the person said that manamoy and gyanamoy, they're sometimes interchangeable.
Yeah, they're the same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're the same. They're just two different terms for the same platform. So you have anamoy, that's always called that. Pranamoy, it's always called that. Then it's either called jnanamoy, because then the next one is vijnanamoy. But knowledge is understanding what is your nature, right? Or manamoy means you're looking at it from the platform of the mind, accepting and functioning on that platform of jnanamoy, and the interactions and relationships and experiences you get from it. You know, it's like you have the platform, like, you know, that sense of nobleness and, you know, everyone doing their duties and all that that comes from that. It invokes a emotional response, you know what I'm saying, of something higher, something greater, right? You know, rather than just, you know, everybody for themselves. No? Do you understand?
Socialism?
Like no. It means varnashram. Anything other than varnashram is not manamoy. It's an anamoy, a pranamoy. Like that. So it's the only thing that's there. That's why devotees don't want to follow it. Then they're accepting a subhuman position to perform devotional service from. But as we see by the science of it, is that whatever it is, if it's connected to the Lord, it becomes perfect. Right? It's not necessarily the perfect offering, but it becomes perfect by being offered to the Lord.
So you can have tribal pure devotees?
Yeah. I mean, you have monkey pure devotees. You know what I'm saying? You know, they stay outside. They don't come in the palace. The monkeys. Right? you know, jumping up, sitting in the rafters and stuff like that. You know, so they stay outside. But when they came back from, I think from Lanka. Yeah, I think it was. I'm not sure if it was then or if it was before the war. Yeah, no, it had to be before the war. Yeah, it had to be before the war. Is that he found her, and so when they all came back, instead of going into the palace and telling, you know, Sugriva, they went straight into the garden, you know, and, you know, ate all the fruits and broke all the trees and had a jolly good time. You know? Okay, the monkeys, you know. So then when Sugriva was informed about this, then he said, you know, either they're, you know, really lost it or they have extremely good news. Because if they don't have good news, they're all in big trouble. Does that make sense? It means Fifth Canto is talking about the because, you know, they're a group of these Kinaras, you know. Kinaras, Kimpurushas. You know, you sometimes see these pictures of human body and horse head, different things like that. So those are Kimpurushas. It's kind of like when, if you saw a guy walking down the street, had a regular body and a horse head, what would be your first question?
Why the long face?
Okay. Yeah? Okay. What would be the second question?
What's going on?
Yeah. You know, what's that? You know, like that. So Kim means what? Kim and Purusha means man. It means Kim Purusha means what kind of man is that? Nara also means like human. So Kim, you know, what kind of human is that? So, right? So they're saying in their prayers that, you know, we're a bit, you know, we're forest dwellers, so we're not necessarily that refined. But the Lord's kindly accepts the service. So that's the point, is devotional service functions despite. You know. Does that make sense? But it becomes much nicer, just like the little kid, you know, they go out in the backyard and, you know, when they're, you know, 4 years old and pick a few dandelions and a couple other weeds like that and bring them into their mother, right, you know, on Mother's Day. And she's in ecstasy, right? Now, what happens if the guy's, you know, 25 years old, you know, he's a, you know, he's got his MBA and he's, you know, a big high-time roller and that, and he goes out in the backyard and picks some flowers like that. No, it's not going to work. You know, she's going to expect some really good flower arrangements. Does that make sense? So the point is the relationship didn't change with the qualification of the individual involved. So it's not that the mother's not very sophisticated, so therefore the dandelions are great for her, but as time goes, she becomes more and more mature. That's why the kid has to give better quality things. No, she was always that mature. It's just that she's relating to the position of... So when the devotee is not very developed, but it's the sincerity in which he is being performed, therefore activities that aren't that high grade, but that's his nature. That is, I mean, at least at present, that's his status of purification. So he's going to act in that way. You know what I'm saying? So it's okay. Does that make sense? But as he gets purified and matures, then it's expected he's going to use better quality ingredients. Does that make sense? So that's why Varnashram is useful.
And then do the reactions get slightly heavier than whenever one's like more qualified? Because Krishna expects more? Or?
Okay. The five-year-old kid throws his baseball through your window. Okay? Now, you know, the 30-year-old lawyer throws baseball through your window. Is there a bigger reaction? You know, the one you tell is mommy and the other one you call the police. The point is it's being done for Krishna, so therefore there's not... The point is this, the difficulty comes if one is sophisticated materially but not devotionally. Does that make sense? Point is if one's devotion and one's sophistication are balanced, then there's never a problem. Because the point is the reaction is only there to correct. But if the attitude, devotional attitude, is proper, then one is already self-correcting. There's no need of a reaction. Does that make sense? So it depends on the situation. That's why, generally speaking, in most things, the reaction, the correction for a Brahmin is always very, very minimal, or if non-existent, because understanding the position, they understand, you know, what's to be done or the need for it. And so the lower the nature, then the more heavy it is, because they're so identifying with the body that unless there is something, unless there's going to be some real problem for the body, they're not going to take it seriously.
Is it that the reaction for the Brahmana is internal, or that, I mean, where you go?
No, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of, if you're looking at it, it means if you switch and understand on the platform of Brahman, then it means it's an illusion what you are doing.
Mm.
So therefore, through knowledge and all that, then you pull yourself back from the illusion. Mm. And then, but the problem is the others, it's not an illusion. Mm. It's reality. So how much and how gross the reality is, how much is you have to reciprocate in kind. You understand?
Yeah.
It doesn't. You know, it's just like, let's say, how you say, your dog did something. He went out and there was some guy came in the yard and he chased him off. And so then he runs over with that big, you know, slobbery look on his face, you know, and all that, wagging his tail. So now he's done a really good job, you know, because that person was very dangerous and you know, always like that. So now because you appreciated that so much, so now you're going to give him, you know, like, let's say your gold watch, or, you know, your Gucci bag, or maybe a, you know, small bag full of, you know, gold coins or something like that, right?
Mm.
No, he wants his biscuit, right? You know. Okay. Does that make sense? So it has to match the nature of the person. See, this is the I always remember is that when we're doing this, you study these things on their own, right? In other words, you're taking a topic and you're studying it in an isolated state, so you can clearly see all the elements and how the elements work together. But its application has to be in the practical living situation. Does that make sense? So that's always, we have to be very careful. We don't use that environment of study as our environment of application. Does that make sense? So therefore, sometimes it's studied on one level, but it's applied opposite. Do you understand? Yes.
So speaking about devotees who kind of oppose to Varnashrama system, what are, you know, is their point of view, or what is their alternative? You know, just
their authorities are mine.
Alternative of development, you know, what they...
Alternative, there isn't one.
They just don't think about it.
No, they just figure you just keep things status quo, and how life was as their mommy showed them, then everything's fine. Because they don't come up with something different than that. They won't appreciate it if you put it in that terminology. But they're not living a different lifestyle than they grew up in their own environment. You know what I'm saying? That's all. It's just they don't want to disturb the environment. It's like they've always, you know, okay, you know, in what do you call it, third grade, you know, and again in seventh grade, you know, they really impressed upon them the importance of washing your hands after going to the bathroom, right? You know, all these little videos and, you know, showing all the little microbes there with all their, you know, how you say, you know, their teeth and their, you know, all their little weapons and what they're going to do to you, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So you got the idea, so now you do that, you know. But that itself was a major thing, because otherwise, you know, you wouldn't do that, you know. It's a lot easier to go into the toilet and then, you know, when the other kid, you know, pokes you in the back, to just immediately run out after him and chase him down the hallway. You know, so, you know, to stop, wash your hands first, that guy gets, you know, a 3-second lead. I mean, that's a big deal, you know. You know, so So you've gone through a lot to be able to develop that. And then as you've got older, you understand it more, and so then that gets fixed and all that. So it's just a matter of its health, and that's all. Now we come along with this thing that not only your hands, but your mouth and your feet have to be washed. And it's kind of like, what's that? You know, so that's just too much. That's fanatic. You don't require all that. Of course, what we need to do is get out a little movie and show all the little, you know, demon things, all this and that, all over the place, and what's actually going on. Maybe then they would catch on. But, you know, the problem is that we're, you know, relating as adults, so it doesn't necessarily. Okay? You know what I'm saying? The point is that it's not seen the importance. That's the Niyamagrahas. They don't see the importance, so due to the liberalness, they throw it out. Someone who's conservative by nature generally is not going to throw it out. But they'll follow it but not understand the actual purpose. So they'll only catch the external, the ritual of it. Right? And then the others don't understand the purpose of it and don't have the nature to follow, you know, any kind of regulation, so then it'll be thrown out. So all you're dealing with is just they don't want to change their lifestyle. They don't want to introduce anything new. They're willing to introduce new and consciousness and chanting and things like that. So these things you can relate to. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like a... Yeah, it's not a big deal. I mean, you know, people became vegetarians, or, you know, there's these, you know, various kind of health foods, or, you know, everybody's kind of like worried about this. So, therefore, making adjustments in the diet's not that big of a deal, you know. Of course, they won't adjust it past whatever it is on the material platform that they consider in the way of health and other things like that. But, you know, these kind of things are there. You know, you have pictures on the wall. That's something you like. So if you like Krishna, you can put Krishna pictures on the wall. You know, but don't go telling them what kind of frame to use, or, you know what I'm saying? Where to hang it and all that. You know? So stuff like that. Does that make sense? You know? So little things like that they'll adjust. Does that make sense? But those are already there as part of the culture, that you do have a little variety within that. Does that make sense? Yeah. But the idea is you don't do something that goes outside of whatever's the accepted culture. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's all. It's not that they're necessarily, a few you have, but necessarily directly, you know, in a organized way or conscious way opposed. It's just that they don't see the need, so they don't, anything that comes to a varnashram, they just goes over their head, it goes by them. Right? You know, because the principle is not caught. So here he's saying the main purpose of varnashram is this. By gradually following varnashram, human being will become eligible to perform devotional service. If we said, we have a system here that if you follow it, you'll become gradually qualified for devotional service. You go, great, what is it? Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that should be what's the point. But this thing is varnashram, oh, it's something, you know, some other thing. Who knows what? It's an economic thing, it's a social thing, it's an archaic. Is there something else other than that? Right?
So you're trying, it means the varnashram is because they're trying to control us with rules, you know?
Yeah, trying to control us with rules. At the same time, is that, you know, if I go to the West and I move like I do here in India, I jaywalk. You know, why I'm here, I go to that store, why I have to walk up to the corner, then wait there? There's no cars. I got to push the little thing, and when the little green light comes on, then I walk across at that thing, then I walk back down. There are no cars. I'll walk straight across. You know what I'm saying? So, but no, you can't do that. But why not? You know what I'm saying? You know, and why do you say, you know, oh, don't watch it, oh, we're just being practical. I was just being practical. You know, so it's nothing to do with practical. It's to do with what you accept as your own values, that's all. It's nothing to do with practical. When devotees talk about practical, it's nothing to do with practical. Yes?
Early lecture of Prabhupada, he actually mentioned varnashram is not practical in Kali Yuga.
But what is he talking about there? You have to know the context.
Yeah,
So if that's the case, then do you know how much problems we saw, how much money we'd save if we just, in our society, banned grihasthas? You know what I'm saying? You know, one brahmachari, whatever price it takes to take care of him, if you wanted to take care of a woman properly, multiply that times 9. Actually, 10. I mean, so, you know, it comes out as 10, right? Like that. So then you add children onto them. They're quite expensive. You know, I think, what is, I don't know, they did a thing in America to get your kid from when he's, you know, conceived up to, you know, through college or something like, it's over $1 million.
$32,000 a year.
Yeah. Where does the man get that? $32,000 a year. Some people don't even make that much at all. You know? So, therefore, I mean, this is impractical. You know what I'm saying? They say, you know, all the different varieties of cars and that. All of that's because there's women. There's no women. Do you need a Ferrari? No. You know, it's like that. Do you need a 5-star hotel? No. You know, do you need a resort? No? The guy's idea is just go out there in the middle of the forest somewhere like that. You know what I'm saying? There's no need a resort. So therefore, if you don't need all that, do you need an 8-lane highway? Right? You know what I'm saying? You understand? So that the whole thing is there. If you really want to be practical and you're really worried about money, ban grihasthas. Right? No marriages, no kids, no nothing. Everybody lives simple, you know, just like that. You know, everybody gets their the same cloth, like that. You know, the man can put on his dhoti, woman can put on his sari. You know, hey, Hari Bol. When I joined, it was like that. You know, like that. You know, it's like that. Right? Though we did never see the third floor where the women lived, so who knows what's up, because there was no furniture in the rest of the house, so we had an idea it was all upstairs. The ladies had it all, you know. Right? You know? Does that make sense? So, if we're just being practical, I mean, just really scientifically practical, wouldn't that be? I said, well, that's not practical. Why not? Because people have minds, they have needs, desires. So the point is Varnashram is the only thing that deals with it. So Varnashram, as a system of self-realization, it's impractical. Because the qualities required, like we went through there, didn't we just go through 30 qualities? If you have these 30 qualities, you can follow Varnashram nicely. Right? You don't have those 30 qualities, you'll have difficulty. Right? So that means then it's through devotional service that the qualities required will be developed. Does that make sense? So it's only an assistant to the devotional process. So therefore, you know, certain major elements, then those we take. So, you know, things like, you know, the 4 varnas, the 4 ashrams, cleanliness, you know, respect of authority, dutifulness. You know, the major fundamental points we take. And so, you know, nobody can complain about that. Can any devotee complain that cleanliness is a bad thing? They won't complain, but then you say, wash their feet after they go to the bathroom, then you're a fanatic. No, that's called cleanliness. Does that make sense? Yeah, so you have to know the context.
It's a process for self-realization.
Yes, so one always has to be very careful to mention that. Very specifically didn't mention it when you first brought it up. That's the meaning and logic of chala, is you take a different connotation of the word. You know, does that make sense? Yeah.
You mentioned before the
Varnashram
started.
Yeah, isn't it funny we were talking about this whole thing? It's actually
going so nicely.
And Varnashram starts.
So you spoke about the
Brahmas,
that their reaction to the Brahmas is different from the punishment is very mild. But do they get the reaction by the law of karma? Even though they understand and they kind of...
I mean, that one gets anyway. You know what I'm saying? That you get anyway, but the point is that the point of means, in other words, the child does something wrong and so they're punished. What's the point of it? That they should be punished? Or that they should understand what's wrong and stop doing it? Right? So if the Brahman understands what's wrong, never is making that an effort to stop, then it's already accomplished. You understand? That's the difference. But there's Kshatriya and Vaishya-shudra, because of the modes of passion, ignorance, that doesn't work so well for them. Right? You know, they like the signal. Kshatriyas like something really serious, things like that, for themselves. Vaishyas and Shudras like to see it for someone else. You know, you take out your, you know, get out your knitting basket and your little chair and go out and sit there, you know, while in the courtyard, you know, while they, you know, hang a few criminals and all that. They like it for someone else. They don't like it for themselves. Kshatriyas like, you know, really tough, hard things for themselves. You know, and Brahmins kind of like to miss both of those.
Is that what it's about?
Yes.
When you spoke about the Brahmana, finally I heard about Ramaharsha Sutta. He was kind of, you know, punished by quite severely. But
was that within Varnashram? I mean, what was the consideration there?
He didn't show respect to the Lord.
He didn't show respect. So it's a matter of respect. Right, so the, they all broke into the song, you know. Right?
And, you know, he didn't behave properly.
Keep going. That's it. Does the Supreme Personality of Godhead happen to walk in have anything to do with it?
Yeah.
Okay, so then we're not talking here Varnashram. Because he was following the law of Varnashram. Here it's that there's something higher than Varnashram, which is the devotional element in respect to the Supreme Lord, right? So therefore, it was a slightly different situation.
But he was a Sutta.
He was a Sutta, not a Sutra.
Sutta.
Sutta means, you mean...
No, I said he was Sutta.
A Sutta, okay. Yeah, yeah. No, but the point is the Suttas may be take on the Brahminical qualification, they may take on the Kshatriya, or they may take on Shudra, or they may take on outcast, depending upon how, you know, purified or not. So he was naturally doing the because, you know, he's qualified. So it means he had been entrusted with the Puranas by Vyasadeva, right? So he was quite qualified. You know, otherwise, why would all those great sages have him sitting and speaking? You know, so he was quite good. But the difficulty came is that he was proud of his position. So that would have been that because of the mix. So he has that Brahminical qualification. But there's still that maybe that pride in the Kshatriya. So that's where the weakness came. So because of that, he couldn't actually discriminate properly. Does that make some sense? So you want to... Let's have some fun here. So you want to give another example? No? Only one? Okay, just like his one example. Yeah, you understand? Do we catch this? Is that when you're dealing, that you'll be saying something, and then somebody will come up with this really extreme example. And then once they've come up with that, is there another one? No. You know? Does that make sense? You know, because, you know, it was Hitler on acid, right? You know, he didn't after that say, well, anything else? Yeah, well, Mussolini on acid. Stalin on acid. Shanghai shit. They didn't, you know, they wouldn't come up with those. It's just kind of just a one shot, you know, that's all they got. Does that make sense? So you always have to remember that, as you, even though there is. Problem is if you have a room full of persons who are each one thinking up one of those, then it's more of a problem. You understand? So that's one example. But that was taken from, you know, Bhagavat coming in contact with Varnashram. But you know what I'm saying? So the thing is generally, is we're not understanding what's there. You know what I'm saying? Devotees are very happy to also discuss Varnashram but not actually know what it is. You know, so it's, you know, it's like anything. It's like, you know, how you say, you know, Bill and Sam at the pub, right? You know, so they're very happy to discuss the whole governance, but they have no idea what actually goes on. Yeah.
This is the indication of the, you know, of passion.
Mode of passion. Yeah, you could say. About that. Yeah, because you have some purpose that you're trying to accomplish. So you're using the argument to, in that way. You know, like a good example is there is that we're saying that the Varnashram is very useful in upliftment. You know, like this. And so, you know, as in by this, gradually a human will become eligible to perform devotional service. So he's already said before is that by engaging the main... Okay, where was it? Or was it... where was it? But you have the one is that, you know, about performing one's duties in the service of the Lord. So that's being established, but then we take it into the context or where we're talking about in other ages, Varnashram is a very uplifting, just by following one could do. But you take that quote, but don't apply that situation. You know, so it wins, it appears it will win the argument, but it doesn't actually enhance the discussion. You know what I'm saying? So, does that make sense? So, like that is, that's how the mind tends to work, because the mind wants to win. I can stay in the material world and be the controller and enjoyer. So as soon as something comes up, then it will frantically run around till it finds some exception, and then bring it up and say, see, I don't have to surrender. You know, like that. And then having done that, then it's, you know, so if you can pick it apart very analytically, it's not by intelligence that it was come to. Intelligence was used to find it. You have to discriminate it requires intelligence. So much of the time, the more obscure the example that they use or the exception that they choose shows how much intelligence they have. But their whole purpose in finding it wasn't intelligence. Does that make sense? You know, so that's why even if you give logical things, it doesn't work because it's a misgiving, and so it's, you're dealing with the mind. Yes, you found another one.
I just was thinking that in my particular motivation, believe it or not, was not to ruin the whole thing, but you know, it comes to the mind. Some exceptions you bring it up, and you get understanding why it is.
No, that's fine. But I'm just but it was being discussed on those who oppose.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So generally it comes like that. That why I was just saying there is that we'll come up with the exception, but generally with anybody, most likely they don't have a second one. Like that. If they're really intelligent, they might pull out a second one. You know, but that would be very rare. But generally someone not intelligent will also be very thoughtful. So you would be able to, if you can present it logically, would be able to discuss with them very nicely. You know, most after you bring that up, then the next what you'll get is, you know, anger and frustration and all those kinds of things. Yes.
When I was on the topic of cleanliness, how is it that the mouth becomes a
When you go in the bathroom, like in the West, excessively placed but not obviously placed, there's generally this little can, you know, with flowers on it, another looks very attractive thing, you know, this little aerosol can that one could avail oneself to after using the toilet. Right? And it's called, you know, air freshener. So, why does the air need to be freshened? Yes, so now would bad smell be purifying or neutral or contaminating? You understand? Because the point is what you smell is air, but air dissolves in water. Right? Air doesn't dissolve in water, fish don't breathe. Right? Not that there's any fish in your mouth, but I'm just saying. You know, of course, thank you. Maybe that could be the cause that the breath is really bad. Right? Fish breath or something like that. But other than that, then the point is that when you breathe through the nose or through the mouth, the fragrance in the air dissolves on the tongue. Right? So even though you breathe out again, it's not that all that you breathed in goes back out. So therefore, you have to wash your mouth to get rid of whatever has been picked up from the air in the bathroom.
So we have to do it outside?
That or just before leaving the bathroom. I mean, if it's really bad inside, yes, you have to do it outside the bathroom. But in general, one hopes that the ventilation or the size of the bathroom or something. I mean, if you have those little European little dinky closets like that, then yeah. Well, anyway, there's no facility in the bathroom either, so, you know. But yeah. Does that make sense? Your traditional houses, you wash your hands, mouth, and feet in the bathroom. Then you come out, and then there's another tap outside where you do the same thing again. You know. So we're not even discussing that because we have enough trouble just always washing the mouth and feet in the bathroom, let alone doing it twice. Is that okay? Srimad Mahaprabhu has quoted the following verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.5.2.3, to Sanatana Goswami. From the mouth of Brahma, the Brahminical order has come into existence. Similarly, from his arms, the Kshatriyas have come. From his waist, the Vaishyas have come. And from his legs, the Shudras have come. These four orders and their spiritual counterparts, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, combine to make human society complete. If one simply maintains an official position in the four varnas and ashrams, but does not worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu, he falls down from a puffed up position into a hellish condition. Right? So he's making the point is that these have come from the Lord, so they're the natural position, but if one follows them without devotional service, then why would one be doing it other than pride? Right? So it's going to be a problem. Sri Ramananda Roy said that the process for achieving the supreme goal of life is given in the Vishnu Purana as follows. One can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, by proper discharge of the principles of Varna and Ashram. There is no alternative to pacifying the Lord by execution of the principles of the Varna Ashram system. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, rejected this process as external and requested him to give a higher conclusion. So devotees will say, yeah, Varna Ashram is external. So is the body. So is the mind, intelligence, and false ego. Do you understand? So as the final point of pleasing the Lord, like that, then it's that he just said it's external. He didn't say it was bogus. Mm. He didn't say it's not followed. He was saying as the final point, that's not it. Right? In other words, Lord Chaitanya didn't reject Varnashram. Mm. He rejected that alone was going to please the Lord. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, rejected this process as external and requested him to give a higher conclusion. The purport of Sri Chaitanya's statement is this. O Ramananda, Varnashram is meant to regulate the gross and subtle bodies. If someone is satisfied only in that, without engaging in devotional service of Krishna, then what is his gain? Therefore, although the process of Varnashram is the only means of purification for conditioned soul, still is external. Right? So then that is very clear. Right? In other words, Varnashram is for the gross and subtle body. It's not for the soul. The soul, it's devotional service. But the point is devotional service has to be expressed through the medium of engaging the body and mind. Right? Mm-hmm. So the body and mind are engaged in Varnashram. So therefore, the expression is through Varnashram. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? In the day-to-day activities. When in the temple, it's Pancharatra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, direct is Bhagavad. Is that make sense? As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8, the occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the meshes of the personality of Godhead. So that doesn't mean they're gotten rid of. It just means they're useless unless they do this. So therefore, you have to see that what your occupation is, it's connected to the Lord. If it's not, then it's useless. Right? It'll provide things. It's not useless in that it will create facility for the body to be in. It will keep the subtle body engaged. But you're not actually elevating yourself. Right? Because elevation means devotion. Yes?
We can also see or say that in the spiritual world, Krishna innovates Varnashrama system.
Yeah. No, that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
It means, as a separate system, then you only find that here, in the material world. Just like you only find Brahman and Paramatma here. Like that. You know, that manifestation as such. The spiritual world, then it's just the natural culture. Because otherwise, you know, like Mother Yashoda, does she deal... Is she making arrangements for Krishna in that occasionally, or whenever she feels like it, or always, right? So, why? Because she wants to serve Krishna in the parental rasa, right? So, the actual mentality and the activities of a parent are established by Mother Yashoda, but there it's done spontaneously. We follow those things because they're the rule. You know what I'm saying? Just like, you know, it's just... Does that make sense? You know, you don't hear Mother Yashoda going off to the spa. Why not? She's busy taking care of a kid. So that means the moms are going off to the spa. How do they do that? Right? You know, they got some, you know, alt-goth, teenager, you know, watching their kid. Like that, you know, and talking on the phone to the boy. You know, watching, you know, Desperate Housewives or something. You know, like that. You know, so, you know, that's what's going on. So it's not that they're creating this wonderful environment for the kid to be in. Right? You know?
Brings back memories.
I'm your babysitter. Yeah, it was that funny.
Explains so much.
Huh?
Explains so much.
Yes, okay. Okay, so do we understand, we have to be able to discern between human life means Varnashram. But at the same time, human life is useless unless it's connected to the Lord. So therefore, Varnashram, not connected to the Lord, is useless. You know what I'm saying? We could take a similar kind of thing. There's, you know, there's that whole run of verses in the first canto also about how... you know, the bellows are breathing, right? Mm. But it's useless. So in other words, someone who's not engaged in devotional service, it's as useless, his breathing, as those bellows, right? So then what will we understand from that?
Connected.
Yes. We won't gain from that, yeah, therefore we should stop breathing. This verse is about breathing's useless. Right? You understand? But if the same point is made in the same context about Varnashram, then we'll say Varnashram is useless, it should be dropped. You know, and if they say, you know, the Grihasthas, you know, living like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, you know, the Grihasthas, this and that, do we then throw out Grihasthashram? No, we keep that quite happily. No, you have to connect it. So somehow or another, just a few things are thrown out because see, Lord Chaitanya throws it. No, he doesn't. His point is that that's just human life. But if it's not connected to the Lord, then it's useless.
Why do we do this?
Because it's more regulations to cramp our style. Like that. That's all. You know, we're worried that all the things that I want to do, I'm not going to be able to do. But
Facebook time.
Yeah, just like that. But otherwise, the point is it's. Basically, if Facebook, fulfills your need for gossip, that's one thing. But if you actually think you're making friends and having serious exchange, you got a problem. Like that. There is a problem. Right? So the point is the Varnashram is going to create the environment in which the human being can interact. But because the human being is conditioned, therefore there's still going to be things happening that aren't nice. Because they're following it, either not following it properly, following it for purposes other than devotional service, right? Or, misunderstandings how it works. So, but that's, we don't blame the Varnashram system. It's just, it's material existence that does that. You know? Let us say we're in, let's say we're in Italy, okay? And then the newspaper reports that some guy, went and, did some bodily harm to somebody else. Okay? It'll just mention it like that, right? Mm-hmm. Now let us say the person who did that wasn't Italian, but was, or maybe they were Italian, but they were from Morocco.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now what will they say? You understand? The other one was just a guy did it. But if there's something different, then it will be, from that particular. You understand? So, in that way is that so many things go on and things go wrong. Right? Devotees follow Western culture. There's so much social difficulties. But no one ever singles out Western culture. But if they were trying to follow something in Varnashram, it didn't go exactly the way they wanted, then it's Varnashram's fault. Same with that. Is that so? From this, one should not conclude that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ordered us to discard Varnashram Dharma. If that would have been the case, then he would not have instructed all living entities through his pastimes of completely following the orders of Grihastha and Sannyas. As long as one has a material body, the system of Varnashram Dharma must be followed. But it should remain under the full control and domination of bhakti. Varnashram Dharma is like the foundation of one's supreme occupational duty. When one's supreme occupational duty is matured and one achieves its goal, then the process is gradually neglected. Again, it is also abandoned at the time of death. Right? In other words, you give up Varnashram at the time of death. Like, hey, well, what about, paying the bills and all that? Sorry, I gotta go. This is irresponsible. We'll talk later.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah. You better get back to me. And Tessie has a Ouija board. We're going to be contacting you. And it's gradually neglected means that just one starts moving up through, vanaprastha, sannyas, like this. You just start neglecting, and then the Paramahamsa, he does, but it's natural. In the last half of the verse, okay, is that very clear? It's a foundation, because it's just what you do. You know? In the last half of the verse quoted by Srila Ramananda Rai, it says, Vishnur Aradhyate Panta Nanyat Tat Dosha Karanam. One should know that without following the process of Varnashram Dharma, a materialist has no alternative to pass his life favorably for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. This is the only way to achieve the life of a devotee. So he's saying the materialist, he has no other alternative. Because first you're taking your material, because it's all according to how you like, regulating according to Varnashram. God's given Varnashram, so therefore he's given the regulation. But still, regulating your life, not doing that to please the Lord, then that's not so special. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say, the kid's there, you know, you walk into his room, looks like, you know, a bomb hit it or something, you know? Like that. We're just taking a random example here, right? You know, okay. So, then, you know, the mother's telling the kid again and again and again and again about, you know, like this. And then, you know, one day she walks in and the room is nice. And so she asks, wow, the room looks so nice like that. And then she, you know, what's the inspiration? Oh, that's because, Miss Hubert at school told us that, you know, we have to keep everything orderly like this, otherwise we won't be able to, take part in the football team. Right? So, will the mother be happy?
Yes.
On what level? Yeah, it means the room is there, but all those instructions, so it's nothing about her, it's nothing about the relationship with her. It's all about, he has a motive that he wants to be on the football team. If it wasn't for that, his place would look like a bomb. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that Varnashram regulates the lifestyle, brings one to a higher platform, but unless it's connected to the Lord, it's not actually pleasing to the Lord, because it's not based on a personal relationship. But if you're following the Varnashram because it creates that regulated, pure environment in which it'll be easier to engage in devotional service, not because devotional service requires it. Chanting Hare Krishna doesn't require it. We require it because we have the tendency towards impure endeavor is strong. Does that make sense? So its basis is there just so that we can perform this service nicely for Krishna. Now, if the mom had walked in and says, wow, the room is clean. And then the kid said, yeah, you know, I thought about it. You've been telling me all these years and I never listened. And it dawned on me. He says, yeah, well, maybe mom's right. It is nice. You know, I walk out in the living room, it's nice. And that. Why shouldn't my room be like that? Then would she be happy?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Ecstasy. That, definitely, that's going on Facebook. Right?
Those brahmanas, whenever...
Hey, now is your time.
I read Srimad Bhagavatam the last couple of days, so those brahmanas, they whenever Krishna and Balaram wanted something to eat, and then they came, and then they didn't give anything, they missed the point.
Yeah, they missed the point.
Even though they were following.
Yeah. It means they're doing yajna to please the Lord. When the Lord comes and asks for the offering, they think no, because we have to keep this for the offering to the yajna. Like that. Yeah, that's the point. That's a very good example. And, you're gonna let him get away with this? He's becoming all spiritual. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samadeta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Janya Jai Gaura Prema.